today, I want to actually share with you what I've been praying for in terms of what I would like to see it happen at Christ Central in this particular year. Every year we have a theme. In the past, we had themes such as building a church for others, loving God, loving people. Last year was each one, reach one. These themes are not just narrowed down to one particular thing, but it is our commitment to the bigger mission that God has entrusted to us. So for those who are attending our church for the first time, I would like you to get to know our church, not in terms of what we provide, not in terms of the venue and the facility that we have. I want you to get to know us in terms of the vision that we have. And what is the mission statement of who we are? As a church, we exist to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be a Christ-centered community, and to proclaim and to fulfill the Great Commission in the Bay Area and the world. It is a three-pronged, objectives: preach the gospel, to form a Christ-centered community, and ultimately to fulfill the Great Commission. So how do we do that? I want to see that happen. And it is my job to lead the congregation, share the same conviction. So this year, more so than ever before, God has burdened my heart with this one particular word that summarizes what I'd like to see it happen at church as Christ Central family. And the theme is, we don't have a drum roll, but it is togetherness. Togetherness. Togetherness is a theme that is mentioned over and over in the scriptures. Christian unity and community is something that we often hear about. We understand the importance of it. And my heart behind the theme togetherness is this: not only to reinforce our commitment to Christian community as a whole, but also it's a call to every single one of us. We cannot get there alone unless we move together as a church. 100% mobilization, 100% participation, 100% commitment to the very singular goal that God has given to us. Hence, I share with you, I want you to remember one important word that will summarize what we're trying to do as a church. It is togetherness. So turn with me today to the book of Ephesians as we look into the meaning and the implications of the gospel togetherness. Today's passage comes from Ephesians 4, verses 4 to 14. At Christ Central, we have the highest regard when it comes to the scripture, and to show our respect, please do stand if you are able to receive the reading of God's holy word. Ephesians 4, 4 through 14, may the Lord bless his reading. There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. That he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about every wind of doctrine by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The word of God for the people of God. Please be seated. And let me ask the Lord to bless our time. Lord God, we come before you. We ask that you will bless this time of hearing your word And as a result, may we come to believe in the very gift and the call of being together as one in Christ. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Togetherness. It's a notion that depicts the idea of all of us coming together. It's to believe in the same common goal. And when we talk about the formation of a community, what we are talking about is how this togetherness is created. Like any community that is out there, there has to be a unifying factor, a commonality that binds all. So when we talk about church coming together, and when we talk about the notion of togetherness as a church, what we are talking about is, what is that one factor that unites all of us together? The word unity actually comes from the Greek word one. So it is an effort or a factor that unifying, that brings oneness together. So the question is, what is the foundation of Christian church? What is one thing that binds all of us together as a church in the Lord? And I want you to see the emphasis on oneness that Apostle Paul it talks about. Look at verse 4. There is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all. I don't know whether you know that. It's a repetition. But I want you to see the particular usage of number that Apostle Paul is using. And I believe he does so intentionally. Whenever you come to read in the scriptures, and when you come across the number 7, number 7 always signifies the idea of being completed, the notion of completion, as well as perfection. Like in the narrative of creation, God created all things, and on the seventh day, he rested because everything was created in perfection and harmony. So when you talk about togetherness, togetherness is not something that is singular in and of itself, that does not come from single origin, but we are talking about an effort of God to bring all these different parts into one whole body. And that idea is clearly conveyed to us in verse 16 when Apostle Paul used the metaphor of the body and he said, the whole body is joined and held together. There are over 206 bones in the body, over 600 different muscles, right? But when all those things are joined together, it becomes the whole body. So the idea is when we speak of the togetherness, it is an act of God that is bringing all different parts together to create one whole, complete, perfect body. So the question is, what is the unifying effect? What brings these different parts together? And the answer is, and I want you to actually listen to this carefully, because the reason I chose this particular theme is because it is our calling to recommit ourselves to what is important in the life of a church. And the commonality that brings all of us together is our shared experience in the gospel. For there to be a community, there has to be a shared experience, isn't it? And what God is teaching us, and what Apostle Paul is teaching us through the emphasis on oneness is, he wants, especially in the life of church, what brings us together to be none other than our commitment to experience the gospel. Notice what Jesus or Apostle Paul says in his word. There's one spirit, one body, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. Here's something interesting. When you talk about other communities that are found in the world, the focus is always on you. What do I share that is in common with someone else? But here, when he talks about 7 things, Apostle Paul doesn't talk about your background. He doesn't talk about where you're from. He doesn't talk about the color of your skin. He doesn't talk about your socioeconomic background. He doesn't talk about your credential. But he emphasized all those seven things, and the commonality of those seven traits is something that is taking place outside of you. Simply put, it is talking about the work that God has done for us. And when you put all those together, it is about you experiencing, at the end of the day, the reality and the promise of the gospel that is found in Jesus. All of us who confess to be followers of Jesus share in one thing, that is the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. The reason why you became a Christian from the first place is not through self-initiation, not through self-assessment, not through self-exploration, but it is entirely and fully and completely based upon what God has done for us. The reason why we are born again is because of the Holy Spirit that has regenerated us. The reason why we believe and confess that Jesus is the Lord is because the Holy Spirit makes it known unto us. The reason why we can say God is Father is because we share in one Spirit who allows and calls us to make the confession, indeed, God is our Father. And I think this is so, so important. Why? Because what Paul is telling us, when church begins to make other things to be an important reason as to why we gather, then we are losing focus as to why we exist from the first place. The very creation of church, which is a living community, is so that we may make the known to all people the power of the togetherness which is accomplished in and through Holy Spirit who brings us to God Himself. Let's be honest. We look for things that are similar in others. We want to be part of a community that knows you. And we want others to be near you because there is something that you share in common. But in church, the very call to promote togetherness is our commitment and our confession, saying to God and saying to world and saying to one another, what matters the most in the life of a church is what we share together in the gospel. It is the centrality of the gospel that Apostle Paul is asking us to continue to hold on to. What brings us together as a church? How are we different than world's communities? And what is a distinguishing mark of who we are as a church? I want you to know and know it well. It is always our shared experience in the gospel. A while ago, I shared one particular experience that I had. It's been about 8 years already. Before I came up to the Bay Area, I was given a chance to go on this a vision trip to China, visiting many home churches. This was after my resignation at a previous church. I was tired, I was burnt out, and I was praying as to, Lord, where are you leading me? And I really, really needed that refreshment because, to be very frank, I was really, really just tapped out as a pastor. And I couldn't think of a better way for God to refresh me than that vision trip that I had. It was a 1 week trip, very packed. We taught everywhere. And I still remember towards the end of our trip, we were given a chance to go visit and join a house church. And house church was located in this high-rise building, somebody's apartment. I remember going in there after a long day of labor, and there were about six pastors. We were both tired, exhausted, and they asked one of us to pray and, you know, preach, and all of us, you know, were literally punting it to someone else. So, I'm tired, can you preach? That's how exhausted we were. One of our friends, he's a little bit more godly than all of us, said, I'm tired, but I will preach the gospel. One interesting about house church in China is that it's a three-hour worship. 2 hours singing, 1 hour listening to a sermon. So I remember sitting there. They were singing in Chinese, which I could understand. I was so tired. But right there in that moment, God did something that stirred my heart that I had never experienced, and it was this. I had no idea who these students were. There was a generational gap. They were young, late teens or maybe early 20s. We had a cultural background, you know, differences. But in that moment, they caused my heart, and I felt close to these people than anyone else in their very setting. And you know what it was? It mattered not whether we are from here or in China or any parts of the world, but at that very moment, as if time stopped and paused to remind me what mattered the most was that we are worshiping the same God. What people need to see and experience when it comes to church is our commitment to gospel togetherness, do you see? It cannot be anything else. It cannot be a political cause. It cannot be a social cause. It cannot be anything of this world. But when people walk into these doors of Christ Central, of the Church of Christ, they need to see the very formation of what brings together is the amazing power of the gospel. You know, when you meet somebody, you ask some basic question. Where are you from? What is your name? What do you do? Maybe it's the purpose of, you know, networking or getting to know each other, but you ask this question. But if you really want to strengthen the togetherness of a church, you must ask this question. How has Christ changed you? You know, it's so odd to me that we are brothers and sisters and friends who attend the same church. But when's the last time you asked that question? How did you experience God's grace? Part of the reason why we introduced Stories of Grace last year was so that you will know how connected you are. So, brothers and sisters and friends, if you call Christ Central home, my charge and exhortation is, let's commit ourselves to gospel togetherness. What brings us together is not this homogeneous look that we all have attained the same socioeconomic educational background. It's not because we look alike, we have the same common value. It cannot because our friend, our kids and our children are, you know, friends. It's not because we are in the same life stage. But all those superficial things must be superseded by this reality of the gospel that can bring all of us together. Have you ever considered when the gospel say Christ came down to break down a wall of hostility? When Apostle Paul talked about now there is no Jews and Greeks, men and women, the point of emphasis is togetherness and oneness has been created by Jesus. And it is the spirit, supernatural bond that is way different than any other thing that combines us here in this world. So I want you to come to church. And I want your commitment to be none other than the gospel togetherness. If that is true, now let's talk about how that understanding changes your expectation when you come to church. I'm going to be very frank. Many people have various reasons for coming to church. And every single one of you has a different reason. For some, it's looking for good education program. For some, it's a social reason, meeting some people. Maybe finding the one. Relational issues. Maybe for some, it's a cultural issue that you would like to feel like you are part of something, you belong. But here's something. Isn't it true? All those expectations are ultimately the reason why so many people get disappointed in the church. You know why you get disappointed? You get disappointed when your expectations is not met. So when you felt like you needed a community, people who love you, and you're part of it, and when something happens, then you will walk. When your needs for your children are not met, then you will walk. But here's something which gospel togetherness brings about in terms of your expectation. And let me say this clear to you. At Christ Central,
the very purpose of our togetherness is because there is a higher calling. And what is the proper biblical expectation of gospel togetherness? See what Apostle Paul says in verse 13. It says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In so many words, here is the ultimate purpose and the expectation of gospel togetherness. It's for your maturity. It's for your maturity so that you will grow in fullness of Christ. We call that sanctification theologically. We call that taking upon the likeness of Jesus as followers of Christ. And you know why this is important? Because we're going to talk about success as a church. The true success of a ministry, therefore, is not the programs, is not the attendance, is not the budget, nor various programs we provide, but the true success of a ministry according to gospel togetherness, according to the purpose that is given by Paul, is then transformation of an individual as well as a community. I cannot settle for less than anything else but that. We want you to grow, mature, and be faithful follower of Jesus is the singular reason as to why we do everything that we do. From educations to missions, from worship, our heart's desire of why as we gather together is so that you will attain maturity in Christ. Yes, we will celebrate many and various milestones in your life. Graduation, job, accomplishment. But the greatest celebration of a church, greatest attention of a church must be given to those whose lives are being changed in the likeness of our Lord Jesus. That's what we want to do. But also, there's another expectation. And another expectation was changed by our commitment and conviction of gospel togetherness is our expectation will never be about a personal individualistic one, but it will always be a communal one. Notice what it says in verse 13 again. Paul doesn't say, I want you to attain your spiritual maturity. Because when we think about spiritual maturity, right, we have this tendency, right? Oh, I need to mature before the Lord. So what can I do? How can I be better? So I need to read more, and there's got to be spiritual discipline. I got to pray more. I got to attend church. As long as I'm doing well, everything will be okay. Paul, when he wrote this letter, he was not addressing individuals, but every letter that is written in the scripture is always given to a community. So the response Apostle Paul was looking for was not, oh, what am I supposed to do with this one? How can I do better? But the response was a communal one. How can we together react to this and respond to this? So here is a communal expectation that comes as a result of gospel togetherness. You are no longer concerned about just your own needs, but you begin to empathize and get focused more upon the transformation and the growth and maturity of all of us. It's so radically different, isn't it? Why? Because majority of the communities that are out there in this world is based upon what I call a consumer, okay, communal approach. It's based on consumer mentality. As long as I'm a consumer, it benefits me, I will commit to it, I will stay, and I will give my heart, my devotion, my resource. But as soon as my needs are not addressed, as soon as it doesn't benefit me, then I will go find something else. But what if you begin to really implement the conviction of the gospel when gospel says you are therefore not yourself, but for the person that is sitting next to you? What if you're there by the grace of God called to serve for the sake of someone else's maturity? In other words, gospel, the reason why it is so radically different than any other community is, it is a call not to serve you, but serve others.
So often, we approach ministry like an individual sport. Tennis. And then I said golf in the first service, but I think golf, they think of it as actually a team sport because there's a caddy, okay? Maybe any other individual sport, but that's how we approach it. But I want you to think this and change this completely and radically in the way that you look at church, how you approach church. It is a team sport. Team sports means we win together and we lose together. But if you're that kind of person who focuses so much on yourself, you know, let me kind of illustrate in this way. You're like this. Your team made to the championship game. Let's talk about basketball. That's my first passion, right? So you made to the state championship game. And you got so close, but you lost the game. But if you're so focused on yourself, you're like the teammate who comes into the locker room when everybody's down. Man, you were so close. We had it together. But you, being so self-consumed, say, hey, can I see the stat sheet? I want to take a look at what I did. Oh, I made 20 points. I got 10 rebounds. Okay, triple-double, I did great, and you start rejoicing when everybody else is looking and you're like, yo, bro, we just lost. Do you see how that is? Just because you are doing well, just because yourself are thriving and growing and flourishing, does not mean we as a whole are doing well. And I need to make sure we buy into that. The overall health of a community is based upon the overall well-being of everyone that is part of it. So what is your expectation? Why? Because if you have a personal expectation, you'll be disappointed. Oh, you find a best friend on campus or you come to church? Let me just be very frank. Your friendship will let you down. If that's the case, you will go somewhere else. If you're looking for a pastor who's smart, good-looking, funny, you're at the wrong place. I'm going to disappoint you. But if you come with the expectation of being committed to this common goal of maturing together, where you are more concerned about other people's needs, you are at the right place. Did you know when we are presented together before the Lord on the day of our Lord, it's not a competition and the platform of individualistic recognition, individual accomplishments. Never the case. We as a church will be presented together. Your personal walk. And I'm going to say this carefully. I don't want anyone to misunderstand. Yes, it matters. For everybody to be well, you need to be well. But the primary concern for church has to be all about us rather than just about you. If that is the expectation, then I want to say to you how that will be operated. If togetherness is a reality, if the togetherness is a goal, and the togetherness will only be accomplished when there is, listen to this carefully, 100% participation and 100% mobilization. I don't want to go too long. The point is very simple. When you talk about the metaphor of the body, and the reason why Apostle Paul uses the metaphor of the body is to showcase that there are many diverse parts in the body, over 200 bones, 600 muscles, and yet when it's joined together, held together, then the whole body becomes healthy. Do you know? You are here and you carry in yourself a divine call to promote gospel togetherness. A lot of people assess ministry in this way, by the 80-20 rule. 20% of the congregation doing the 80% of the work. So what is the expectation as we pursue and strive the mission that is given to our church together? It is this. All of us. Every single one of us in this room, you are called to minister to one another. Here's a profound thought I want you to remember. You know, Jesus didn't need anybody's help, right? He could have just simply made the body to be healthy. He could have done everything on his own. Probably he will do a much better job, right? Do you know why he insists on being the head and asking the entire body of Christ to come and join? He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, and shepherds. Why? So that they will also equip the saints for the sake of Christ's ministry. As long as you are a part of the body, in other words, it is not a competition. It is not sizing up each other. It's not kind of looking at each other saying, you are a threat to me. But the whole notion behind togetherness is this commitment that we are not competing, but we are completing one another. I could say this. I need you. And your brothers and sisters need you. It's not a preference. It's not a whenever you have time. But I am talking about a need to be sanctified all for the sake of the maturity that must be attained as a church in likeness of our Lord. So what will make our church to be distinct and different? It is when there is a commitment to gospel togetherness, we are committing ourselves to serve one another. I want you to look at each other. I know this is a very socially awkward thing in the Bay Area. Look to your neighbors, to your left, to the right, make eye contact. Okay. And I'm going to say this. Here's the most amazing calling that God is extending to you. You are called to minister to that person. Not just the ones you would like to minister to, but everybody. I need you. And so does everyone in this room. Quick applications. As I invite the praise team to come and join us, here's a couple of things I want you to do. If you are calling Christ Central to be home, I want you to worship faithfully. Worship is an expression of your heart's adoration, heart's affections to the Lord. But do you remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness? Satan promised him all the glory and honor in this world. But Jesus said, I want you to worship and serve God only. If you want to be a healthy Christian, worship is first and foremost, but service must accompany your worship. You know what service is? It's an outward expression of your heart's devotion and commitment to the Lord. And how do you serve God, everyone? You serve God by serving the needs of your brothers and sisters. So if you are a member, regular attendee, calling Christ Central to be home, here is a divine expectation calling that Lord extends to you. Worship and serve. I don't have a gift, Pastor Ben. Everybody has a gift. Utilize it. And if you feel like you don't have a gift, here's one gift that you can truly exercise. It is the gift of prayer. Can you pray for me as I will commit myself to pray for you? Without your prayer, I will not have the Lord's protection. And I'm going to continue to pray for you so that you will flourish and thrive. But we got to make that commitment. I'm going to do something special on this important first day of our official fall kickoff. I'm going to ask the congregation to pray for one another. And we don't need to know specific prayer requests, but we know the most important one. Let's pray so that we as a whole may attain the maturity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take a moment.